Let's call this meeting to order at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, May 14, 2013. The first order of business is public comments and inquiries. Seeing none, let's move on to minutes for Tuesday, April 9, 2013. Anybody want to make a motion? It's been moved by Commissioner Smith. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Commissioner Escalera. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay? Item number four, adult volleyball.
Is that you?
Good evening. Name's Chad Innes. Currently live in Stratford. I actually graduated from Limor High School in 95, so this is my community. I've been here for a while. I left about 15 years ago, and I just got back. I'm representing the volleyball community today. Where I wanted to go with this is I basically wanted to let you know that the adult volleyball community here is growing a bit. We have a league that's looking to start up around mid-June. And we also have tournaments that are held every 3 months at Liberty. And we also have some summer tournaments coming at the Phoenix Sunrise. But there's really nowhere for us to play. There's a few indoor courts, which cost a lot of money. There's a grass court at Heritage that I kind of want to discuss a bit. The idea with that is there's a few of us that are discussing possibly moving the net into where the tennis courts are at. If you're familiar with the area, there's a net there that's broken down, that's not used, it's underutilized. And the placement of the net now in the grass, which is a good intent, people do love to play grass, but if you keep a stationary grass court in place, it tends to get dusty and dirty, and of course you have the weeds and all those things, so it's underutilized. There's a sense that if we moved it into that little court there, that it would increase the play. People do love to play outdoor hard court. Some people play on asphalt, some play on basketball courts. There is an active community that does play that. So I'm bringing this up to maybe discuss either moving the court in with the tennis courts or maybe discuss other possibilities for the volleyball community. I don't really know where to go with that after that. That's what I wanted to bring up and maybe discuss it with y'all. As far as players, we do have a few lists of with the Danny Yamas tournaments that are every 3 months at Liberty, he says he has a list of probably 600 players that he talks to. Out of those, about 200 of them are in Lemoore, and out of those 200, he's able to pull 10 to 12 teams. And he mentioned, and if we need, I can maybe take this further and maybe even get some more information from that, but he says he gets between 10 and 12 teams. And like I said, usually they head to Hanford to play, or they some of them play on the base sand court, but there's nowhere to play on a hard surface. So the idea is maybe if we can help, I can assist in the construction of that or assist in the, maybe facilitating the logistics behind it, if need be. I don't know what the cost of that would be or if that's even something that's even a safety hazard. But I have seen them work in San Diego. I've seen them work in Boston. In Cambridge, and outdoor, those kind of courts are successful. People do play on them.
So I just have a couple questions that are coming to mind real quick. At Heritage Park, there's two tennis courts there, correct?
Correct.
And one of them, you say, has a broken net?
You maybe have some more information on that.
In the upcoming budget, we put in that is going to be before the council next week, is the replacement of both of the posts and that. If I were to take a tennis court away with the demand on the tennis world, I think I would get
a pushback.
And I wouldn't suggest that you go that direction because we have too many tennis players for the amount of courts we have in Lemoore now. If we could find a suitable spot, there may be resources available to pour a slab and put that up. I think if I were to, the reason that one is where it's at and on grass is a group of young ladies that came to this meeting and begged for that in that spot.
Okay.
And so I guess we have competing interests. And adding an additional one if there's demand, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I don't know about you folks. You're basically talking a slab, and I don't know the official size or what would work out best,
sure.
But that's not there is part capital money available. So, you know, whether it's that park or another park, I don't know that. I guess we could talk about that, but there's resources available if that's the way these folks thought that would meet the needs of the community.
Now, along the same lines, so we have the sports complex, and I talked to quickly. I'm sorry, Mr. Costa, he was there, and he mentioned that it was. Yeah, he mentioned that it was. I mentioned to him the thought of bringing the volleyball court in there, and he quickly cut me off and mentioned that the ceiling wasn't high enough regulation, which I just said okay, sure. But then I thought about it for a second. I looked deeper into it, and it's plenty high for typical playing. I mean, no one's going to really do the sky ball or anything wild like that. So I've played in courts that are similar like that. So if we even I don't even if that's open, maybe even putting up a court. Maybe having Tuesday night volleyball at the sports complex or something along those lines. Is that something that we've discussed in the past as an option?
I personally would love for you to give that a shot.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is we have a, I mean, I'm sure you've already mentioned it, the rec center. I mean, I don't know how often, and any of the scheduling conflicts, I mean, you guys would be able to answer these questions, but, basketball is down there, and then they do pick up, three, four nights a week? Mm-hmm. Maybe even, I mean, if that was a feasible place, I think that would be almost cheaper than going through pouring a slab and just having your own, outdoor court. I would think that thing would get 365 days of use relative to,
sure.
So I'm saying summer months, but, when it's rainy months, obviously you're not going to want to be outside and it's cold and everything.
We have that south end basketball court. They don't need both. They're not both using both courts, right, Joe?
Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Monday there were
46 basketball players playing pickup yesterday.
That's decent.
Yeah. But they could have. There are nights that I don't have it available that I could let them do it.
Right. Well, especially if he's got a club of. Yeah. You said 600 right. people that are interested in
his mailing list as far as right. He goes out to.
Down, you have 10 teams. Shoot, that's better than a men's adult soccer.
So you're talking about having. You want to do a league.
Well, no, I'm looking for. So there's a league in works. Alan Sierra, I think he's working on a league that starts June 6th. He has about six teams. What I'm looking for is somewhere we can play when we're not playing in the leagues and we're not playing the tournaments to get us prepared, because we had an example was we had a tournament a few weeks ago, and there was a lot of people from the world playing there, and I could see, you can hear them talking about, well, if we had somewhere to play, we would have competed better, we would have had, and I'm thinking, it goes into what I've been thinking since I've been here, is there really is nowhere for us to just go play open court volleyball. I mean, there's open court basketball in places, but
it would be more for practice, right?
Yeah, it's just for pickup games and things like that, just a place where the community can get together and maybe even form teams. There's players out there who don't have teams, and there's people who want to play that they don't have six people to be with. So, and it worked well in MIT and community and in Cambridge. We had it set up there, and it worked real well. Just open court, and people would just come. They would sign up on the board. It's just that type of thing.
So basically, we would use more like maybe two tires with the poles going up and with the net going across.
Depending on
you can move them. Basically, stationary.
Sure.
Portable.
There's versions of that, right?
I think if I were to do it inside where the basketball courts are,
you may want to.
I would core drill, and then you'd have a cap that goes over it when you're not using it. You pop the cap off, and you slide the poles in.
It'd be similar to the high school setup where they have the pulley on there.
Yeah, same sort of thing.
What about, I know roller derby in there, they tape off. I mean, they have that whole place taped up for their deal. I mean, I'm just thinking if you got a basketball court and you use it just strictly for basketball, but to me this seems so simple on a Tuesday night. I mean, I'm using Tuesday as an example.
Yeah, that's
you just block off a Tuesday night from 7 to 9 o'clock or whatever the hours are. You just block that off. You put
for them.
Yeah, two nets up and it's four open volleyball.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I don't think it's anything we need to build a special. I mean, we already have the facility. We already have everything. I mean, you're talking a net.
The only cost would be the net, of course, and the poles and the construction, the holes and all that. That's the only thing
I mean, would we need something as drastic as going lines, or could we just tape something up, well, or I mean, because I don't know how that
would work. We could paint permanent lines, so we don't have to mess with
it.
But what I would like, what I would propose we do first is we get a temporary one, and you get a group of guys and make the facility would work before we went in.
That's a good point. Okay, right. Make sure making sure the theory of the roof doesn't come into play, and the you know see if there's
like a trial. Right.
Sure.
It is pretty low, but I've played a little bit of volleyball, and you know, I mean, I'm not
right. Yeah, I mean, there's a few times when the hit gets.
it's never come into play in a basketball game.
No,
but we've never even attempted this.
Sure.
To be honest, I assumed it wasn't high enough, so I don't know that for a fact. So why don't you organize a group and we'll set it up and give it a shot.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to come down to that.
Sure. Okay. Great. We'll get you on the list.
I mean, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in playing.
Oh, I thought you got me excited there for a second. There will be no. Okay. So I'll get together a group of people and kind of maybe think of a night that works best for the most people and bring that.
Not on a Tuesday night, and give us enough lead time where we can post that open play basketball will be going on and all of that. So let's try and set something. 2 or 3 weeks out, so we can prepare for it. Okay.
Okay.
If this takes off and progresses and gets as big as you think it might, with 200 people, would there be another option where they can play more at some other facility?
Well, if it works, we could run our leagues there.
Right.
Yeah. If it works.
Sure. If it works. And it's like when I first got here, I came to you and asked you about the leagues, and it seemed like there was a small sign-up, so I was kind of discouraged by that. But then when I went out and played in these certain places and met groups of people that were playing, I guess they didn't even really know about
really
the league.
Off this year for some reason. I don't know whether that's you or what.
It might be me just doing a lot of this.
like Madison, my daughter, she was always into softball and other things, but he's gotten her involved.
She's involved, too. She does play.
The 20 to 30-year-olds are out there playing volleyball now. Approached today by Alan, and he's got six teams ready, looking for a place to have a league.
Mm-hmm.
How come Liberty is not no longer accepting?
From what I hear, you may have. I heard that it was cost. It wasn't okay.
We have a joint use agreement with the high school, and because the high school uses the golf course for two teams and practice. And they use some city facilities. Our joint use agreement makes the high school very affordable for the gym. The problem is they don't make it accessible to us. We don't have a joint use agreement with Liberty. And I would like to maybe challenge one of you or Dustin if you could see if there's some interest. In the past, I asked to be put on their agenda and talk to the board because they charge us where we use the high school gym for $14 an hour to run adult activities. They charge us $80 an hour, plus they charge us $25 an hour for a janitor, and the janitor merely opens the door. And so it makes it not affordable for these folks, and we're supposed to be, you know, given and taken in the community here. And so if you would, you know, if someone wants to maybe accompany me to that to add a little bit more support and we'll ask to be, because my request has kind of fallen on deaf ears over this has been a couple, 2-3 years coming. So what he's referring to is just the cost of using the facility. We used to run this at Lemoore High. It was very affordable. And now it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. So I'll find out the information. Mention the follow-up in a few weeks. Do we want to lock in a date, or do I just keep in contact? As far as
why don't you see what was a good date that works for the majority of your folks?
Okay.
And then let Sheila know, and we'll schedule.
Okay. Okay, great.
And then we'll notify any of you if you want to be there and watch it and see what you think.
Wait.
I'll get that.
Okay, that was the net you just asked about?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll get that.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Chad. We appreciate it. Let's move on to item number 5, air rifle range setup.
do a little quick setup of this before he gets up here, because Mr. O'Donnell is a gun enthusiast, and he championed this. And I think all of you have seen where this area is going back there. The reason I put this on the agenda is I wanted to do a little preemptive planning before the young moms come up on this podium and tell you guys did a bad thing. And Willard and I met over there this morning and walked the area. And while I think we can come up with a way to organize this and how this could work best for everyone, I'm just concerned that the young mothers with the ballerinas and the little soccer players and so on see guys walk in the building with a gun on, walk back there and let themselves in. There's going to be a percentage of them that are going to get very worked up over this. And so how best to approach it, working hours, what would work for the community, and it would also work for all the gun enthusiasts. So I'll let Willard take it from there.
Feet. Oh, let me get a copy of that back here. But the first one is just some general range rules I found on the internet. The only thing I was said down there, anybody would bring their own personal air gun, I would think it should be cased. But that concern Joe brought up, and I agree with him.
Absolutely.
Either soft or hard case instead of carrying a...
Right.
Just no need to make a panic or upset people if we don't have to. And it might make your meetings a little bit better than having people down here. And the council meetings.
We'll send them all to you, Willard.
Okay. We might need some target holders here before long. Also, I think we need to keep it to 22 caliber 177. I believe all those air guns that we got from the NRA is 177. They do make a 25, and I've started doing a little reading where they're making a 30 caliber air rifle now, which is, you know, of course, the bigger the caliber, the slower it goes. But anyway, those are some of the thoughts on eating, or the rules. And we need to have a place, Joe, for them to wash your hands when they're through, because those pellets are lead. You know, I can remember as a kid, throw a mouthful, handful in your mouth and go out shooting birds, and never thought nothing of it.
Is there they're going to have to enter the range from the north end of the building, right, still? Like everybody else comes in? Or is there
the only other thing we could do is you could create a path. Now, remember, you hear in about 3 months, we're going to move over there,
right,
and they're going to come through the front door. But what we could do is that you could go halfway down, like community gardens area. Mm-hmm. You go halfway down the building, and then there's that
long room.
There's that long hallway, and we could make it to where they come in there.
Yeah.
That would at least cut half of it off.
Right.
And then they would still have to walk past CrossFit
right.
to go back there.
But that's not half near as bad as it would be coming from all the way.
I don't know. It would maybe I think I'd have to come up with a different fence and for security because I don't want people just wandering through the property. And we've had a little bit of change at the top, so maybe there's a different philosophy about going all the way around. I don't know.
And when you say all the way around, is that is there an entrance? You know, when you come into the grounds, all the way around, is there an entrance when you go through where the maintenance? Is there an entrance there?
There is, but my previous boss from a couple weeks ago was dead set against it because of the equipment and the liability and all of that. Once they went into the maintenance side, there are things they could A, get hurt on, and B, steal.
Yeah.
And so he was against it on the maintenance side. So I don't know. I've had a lot of thoughts go through there, if they met and the range master, now Willard can tell you about being a range master. I know absolutely nothing about guns. And that's why I want this to be a lot of people's opinion besides mine, because I know nothing about this. I've never shot a gun at a range ever. I know nothing about this. And so it's going to be, I'm going to be educated with, I'm sure all of you know more about it than I do. So maybe they could meet the range master, and the range master could take them around as a group. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how the traffic of a gun, how that works. So
I think if it's cased, if it's in a, like I said, a hard case, a soft case, as long as it's in some kind of a case, and the weapon's not exposed, you know, in the hand, the hip, you know, smug, you know, with the rifle on it. I think if we, you know, keep the weapon concealed, I think it's going to be fine, because, I mean, this is a big, it's taken off. Shooting, learning how to shoot weapons, and let alone firearms, is huge right now. And there's women's gun clubs going on. This air pistol, I think, is great for kids, to teach kids. It's a good interaction with the families. So the idea is absolutely fantastic. You just got to make sure that we don't scare the little kids and the women who aren't fascinated with pistols, whether it's airsoft or, you know, real firearms.
Yeah, I didn't mean to print off that air pistol one. I meant to hit the air rifle, but I guess I didn't read close enough before I hit the print button.
Well,
so the one you got on the air pistol is just by air. It was supposed to be an air rifles.
Right. Okay. Air rifle. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Okay.
But it's both. They both use the same 10 meter, which is 33 feet.
Right.
How many nights a week is this going to go?
We have no idea.
I have to see how much enthusiasm build. I know I called the high school today a couple times. ROTC over there, Chief Vigil, left a message on his recorder. No return. Left one this morning and one this afternoon about school get out time.
Well, go ahead, Alan.
Oh, I think, I mean, there's a lot of interest in this. I mean, I know a lot of gun fanatics, you know, obviously where I work at, but there's a lot of kids who are wanting to learn how to, you know, shoot a firearm. And I mean, this is like the perfect, you know, ideal to get kids and women involved in learning how to, you know, practice safe shooting practices and techniques, and then if they want to further it on to, you know, something more serious. But I mean, the air pistols and air rifles are, that's a big thing jumping off, you know. It's gonna once we get out there, once we, you know, we have a facility and it's set up to be a professional, you're gonna get a lot of traffic coming through.
So this is gonna be a shooting range, air rifle shooting range. Is it going to be a training facility, or people? If I, you know, I mean, I got guns, but you know, I don't use them except I'm shooting coyotes or rabbits or something like that. But if I want to come in, are you going to teach me how to use a rifle and all that stuff? You know, I could see.
I'm not a certified instructor for teaching, but I'd be happy to take anybody out to the Sportsman's Club out here in the island and work with you out there with guns.
When I was on with the ROTC people that do this, when I would train their students or
cadets
or whatever you want to call them, they do go through a training session that they put on. Now, my understanding is he was one that approached us originally and wanted to try and get something going so people could go, and he was willing to provide that, the training instruction, the instruction, the training at that time. So
we have three volunteers that have volunteered to be range masters, and I can email you the minutes from the meeting where it was discussed. Mr. McDonald was there and three others. If you want to, yes, everybody has to go through a safety course, is what was discussed in the prior meeting before they shoot at the range. And the range master handles that.
So I think you're going to have it like to where, you know, you have one day open for just anybody that wants to come in and use the air pistol, their rifles. Then you're going to probably have another day where you have competition teams that go in there and have it blocked off to where they're just compete, you know, getting right back to
practicing. Yeah.
So I think you're going to probably have to set up where it's both. You know, it's like an open range, and then it's.
Well, it's like I was telling Joe today. I just took my class. I'm waiting to get my certification back from the NRA. They used to call them range masters. They call them RSOs, range safety officers now. So I just took my class a couple weeks back. And I wouldn't want to go there and sit there all day doing this, you know, twiddling my thumb waiting for somebody to show up. But if somebody comes in or a group of people wants to make arrangements, you know, if I'm available, I'll be happy to go down.
Part of the process of the grant, too, was to offer youth classes. So if you offered a youth class, you would do it at a set time, and you would have a range master there. But that is part of the grant process that you offer youth
right,
classes. And those children would use the guns. We did purchase 16 guns.
Six.
No, we have, there's 10 guns. There are six targets. But this process is going to evolve, I guess.
Right.
But just to start off with, this is where I'm asking for the most input. Yes, let's say the children, and I don't know enough about it, or if it's 12 and up, 13 and up, or whatever. After they've gone through a safety class, do they need a range master there every time they shoot?
Well,
or could they check their gun out and shoot at the target?
I
don't mean to interrupt. This is where I'm really confused, because I thought as a commission, we sat here, I don't know, Willard, how many months ago, 6 months ago or whatever we were discussing this, I thought we had in place that they were going to use a separate back door, that when I say back door, I mean their own entrance. They weren't going to go through any other facility. I thought that was point A. I thought point B was going to be there was a range master there. Whenever anybody was shooting, I mean, you just can't – I couldn't just go in and go shoot just to go shoot in there. I thought there was going to be somebody there, whatever the hours are, I mean, from whatever they are. And then I did also think that everybody had to go through safety. And now we're coming back here, and I may be completely off base, so please, somebody correct me if I'm wrong or didn't hear the same things, but now we're saying that there's not going to be any backdoor entry.
Well,
there may not be any backdoor entry, or...
What we discussed is we would come up with options for entry.
Okay.
That was the discussion at the last meeting.
Now.
And at the options of the entry, one of them was going at the back,
yeah.
And that was killed eternally by my boss. So what we discussed at the last meeting is we were going to have options for entry.
Okay, so what...
It has its own separate entry in the back of the building with a pan of cardboard on it that seals it off from the rest of the building.
Right, but if you come in through there, once you start shooting, you don't want nobody coming in because you're shooting to the south, and that door is on the south you'd be coming in.
Correct.
Right. You don't want somebody coming in behind the target.
The door would have to be, so if this is the firing line right here and the targets are there, you'd have to have the door back here and then you'd have to go to your cube.
I don't know if there was enough room in there for us to turn that, instead of shooting south, Joe, turn it and shoot east. There's a wall.
See, and that's where I thought originally when I would walk through it was they were going to be shooting. It'd be right, yeah, to the east, against the east wall. I believe at that time there was like a, I don't know.
If I remember right, there was like about a 4 foot, yeah, 5 foot.
That's where the police officers are going to do the workout.
Okay, so you can't shoot against there.
You can't shoot against there.
So the only place to go is to the south.
You could go to the south of it and still shoot against there.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I feel. Believe me, I'm not against this at all. I just think my concerns are is, you know, there's going to be, you know, and my wife is one of them, that if you got people walking through a case or not, I mean, it's only obvious you're carrying a gun. You know, I mean, it's not. And then my other concern is if after you get done shooting and all of a sudden you got buddies that are playing basketball, what are you going to do? You're going to roll up with your gun and your case and go start talking to your buddies playing basketball, and then that involves to getting your kids into the playground, which involves, you know, I mean, I don't want to see any of that. I'd rather see you get in and get out, for more or better terms. You know, when you go to a gun range, you walk in, you check in, and away you go, and then there's not, I mean, I guess everybody in that gun range is there to shoot. There's nobody in there playing basketball or playground stuff. So I think we need
there
to come up with...
I think that's, if somebody comes in, you utilize a shooting range, and they get through, and their buddy's over shooting basketball, first thing they need to do is take their gun to their car.
Without a doubt. I mean, the problem is that happens.
There's going to have to be some hard, fast rules. And I mean, you're going to have people that's going to get peeled, but once you burn one or two people.
Okay, but this is the scenario that I'm afraid happens, and we have it down there all the time. Who polices that? If you don't have a gun range down there, and I can go down and shoot at 7 o'clock, and there's no range master, anybody to babysit me, who stops me from walking over to do that? I mean, who stops us? We don't have...
Let me ask you a question. When you go out to the sportsman club, is there any supervision there?
Nope.
No. But that is strictly a gun range.
I understand. I'm wondering, once you get behind the door, once you go behind that door, you're no longer in the facility, and you're right. Who's going to police that? Who's going to say he's certified and he brought his buddy with him? Who isn't certified? I don't, and that's why when I
put my name down on this, I thought there was very stuff was all in order. You were going to come in a backdoor entry. You were going to have a full range master, or the new term, I don't know, RSO or whatever it is. I thought we were going to have that all into place, and now it seems like we're going to this deal, and pretty much everything that I put my name down to is completely, and I don't want to say complete opposite. I know we're just working this out, but it's not flowing the way that I would have intended to, or I would not have gone forward with
it. Open house type thing where we were showing Joe walked us through where the air gun was going to be and where the traffic might be coming through, showing us that one side door hallway where you were going to make close off that one wall or something like that, one door to that one side door.
And it had it.
All that was brought out during that little open house thing.
I thought that there was going to be a back door entrance where there was nothing coming through the main part of the facility. I thought that there was that back door that on the back side was going to be where they would go in. We had mentioned, walking through the community gardens. At that time, the community garden looked like it was a graveyard of weeds. So I thought, okay, we're not using that. That would be a good place. So we had two good places where the rifle range individuals could enter. My preference was the door on the backside, but. I think any other entrance that we have coming through there, we're gonna have complaints, and we're gonna lose a lot of participants in our children's program.
And that's what we don't want.
I think the common goal we've already approved unanimously a shooting range. Yeah. I think we just need to come up with the appropriate structure now to make this work. The other concern is that I have, and just sitting here thinking. Is if there's nobody there, I mean, there's a lot of crazy people in this place, but what stops somebody from coming in and saying, oh, I'm going to go to the shooting range, and brings out his 38, I would hope that there's enough common sense there, but you can't rely on people having common sense now,
The ROTCs, most of them, they practice with their same guns, and once they get them, they start learning the quirks of each gun. And then a lot of the older guys, the lieutenant commander was talking about, that's gone to college, they still got their air rifles. A buddy of mine, I call him my mentor because I'm still learning from him on a lot of stuff. On guns, but he's got an air rifle. He's paid close to $10,000 for it. Air pistol, he's paid, I think, a little over $5,000 for. So these people, they take it serious.
So this is all on an assumption that women are going to be scared, but
I think that's a wrong idea there, Sonny. Is I don't think women are going to be scared. That's the wrong premise.
No.
You can go back. I never said women are going to be scared. I just said that I think that when people come into that place, people are going to have the notion of somebody's carrying a gun. And not everybody's comfortable. I'm perfectly fine with that. But not everybody is comfortable of having somebody else carry a gun, whether it's in a case or, hell, it could be in a brown paper bag. Nobody would ever know. But people are uncomfortable in general. I mean, it's...
Well, my first thought is the 80 cheerleaders and my instructor that teaches cheer would be uncomfortable, I can guarantee you.
Well, you know, it's going to be parents. It's going to be parents that's going to be uncomfortable. And people right now are still reeling from, you know, the trepidation that we've had on the news about these different random shootings and all that. You know, that's still got people, that still is in the mind of people. So we're going to have parents concerned about that. We will definitely have to come up with some hard, solid instructions on how we're going to monitor or manage that. You know, if we have a training marshal that's there, will that person be there from the time it's open till the time it's ended, and he or she makes sure that anybody else wants to go in the arena to play basketball must check their rifles or take their rifles to their car, you know, and then they can enter from the front door that everybody else is in. I mean, we're going to have that really organized and together. Otherwise, yeah, we're going to have complaints from parents. You know, I mean, there's probably dads that got guns and stuff like that. But Justin says, you know, there's some psychos out there, you know, and it just take one, you know, to get beyond our little security line, and then we have a little more on the map for the wrong reasons. So I understand what Justin is saying. There will be parents concerned, but we just got to make sure that when this thing happens, you know, we get it going. We got to make sure that we have the right staffing. Yeah, we have the right. We have the staffing to make sure that we're gonna quell the anxieties, the negative anxieties that we're gonna be getting.
Will, are there gonna be the RSOs? Are they gonna be there? Let's say that. I mean, obviously. Myself, I've been through a lot of, you know, weapons courses and stuff, but do I have to be an RSO in order to take my son there without having an RSO there, or is there going to be, or have you guys worked that part of it out?
The reason we haven't worked any of it, I mean, I'm throwing Willard under the bus here a little bit, because it's going to be a work in progress. None of that is really ironed out. I have different thoughts in my head. One is that during those that aren't advanced gun shooters, I have 10 rifles available. There's also a gun safe as part of this grant. Those will be locked up back there. So for the casual person that doesn't know what they're doing...
Honestly, I think those 10 guns would be like, you know, the part of the grant was that we teach young children or youth. Those guns would be used for that. Most of your shooters that's going to want to come and utilize that, they're going to have their own gun. And I think those ones that you got with that grant is basically for if you hold a once-a-month Saturday at 10 o'clock class for first-time shooters, something like that, use those guns for that.
And I think there'll be some father sons that want to come do that sort of thing. That doesn't bother me. But what I was thinking of just doing a scheduling thing to where I don't have... I don't have the range open during a time it's loaded with little kids.
No, I don't think that's the problem. I think you can have if the hours for the range happen to be the same time as the cheerleading, I don't think that matters. I think what matters is that it's organized and structured. So if you have the cheerleading going on, I mean, I think it all goes back to the way you need another entry. And you should not be able, and this is just my thought, and I don't know how we make it work, but you should not, that back door that slides closed, you should not be able to break that barrier to come into where the basketball does or anything with a gun. You know, you come in on the other side, and you go out the same side you came in. I mean, the parking lot on the backside or wherever is a different story. You know, if you keep it in a case, once you leave that barrier, you got to have it in a case. You walk to your car, you put it in. If you want to come back through the door and go through the side door, then you go back through the door and the side door. I think that alone would eliminate 99% of the problem.
Is there any time frame that we're battling here? I mean, does this thing have to start next week, next month?
No. The product is here.
In that case, I agree 100% with Dustin. I'm not sure if we as a commission or anybody else involved with this possibly gave this enough diligence. These questions are coming around. I'm not sure if we thought them through. And I'm starting to agree with Dustin and that guns and basketballs and volleyballs do not mix. And if we can't keep them separated, I'd like to revisit the whole issue.
Okay, while we've already accepted the grant, so it has to go up somehow, some way. Can we set sometime in the near future where we all meet over there and walk this through and talk only about this, and I give you the options of how we can enter
I think that's
right. Well, we definitely need to do that.
That's a must, and I'd also like Willard and I don't know if Chief Vigil or I don't know who's the other one down there.
Yeah, Lieutenant Commander.
Yeah, you know, I think those kind of guys, and then whoever is going to be some sort of a rangemaster. I can't think of the gentleman that came and spoke, and his son or daughter was an avid shooter and going through the program.
Richard Land.
You know, if he could come down there too.
I think it's important, but I don't think them being there or not being there stopped the show.
There's no chalkboard in here, huh?
On how, you know, this thing should go. So
is that a dry
we need to be there, and I want to visually see.
Because their concerns are going to be far different than ours.
Right.
Right, but I think with some of their concerns, like Willard's saying, you know, and I think even Sonny had a point, was some people just don't care. I mean, that's a natural occurring deal that you just walk in. I mean, maybe there is a way. I mean, maybe you get an escort of the range master, if you have a range master time, to walk and escort those people through.
When they're ready to go, you escort them out. Once we're in the building, that's what I was bringing up earlier. Once we're in the building, if they had their own rifle, whether I put it in a cart, or they would have to go with Sheila or I or Eric or whoever I have in the office. The rifle's going to cart, and we just escort them back.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I think we can definitely get it worked out.
I mean, if the entrance is that big of a problem.
Robert, let's.
Dustin, I was thinking, I mean, this can't be the only grant the NRA has granted to a Parks and Recreation Commission. I would think they would have some guidance on all these questions that we have as well. You know, we could just maybe, you know, I don't know if with all the equipment came, maybe some guidelines came with it too. I don't know.
I just don't think there's been an airsoft rifle range that was located in with all the other activities that we have. I mean, you know, we're a small base community. You know, all the other ranges, they have their own facility. We have 10, 15, 20 things going on in one facility. So we have to make sure that we take consideration for everybody's issues, and I think that's what we get done by going down there, meeting, walking through it, putting right down questions that we do have, concerns, strategic position, I mean, all that. We can take care of all that pretty much one day, at least start it, and then we can obviously have to think through it as we go along. But I think that's a good starting point, though. Like you said, walk, take a tour down there and have a notepad, and I mean, everybody's concerns or issues or whatever, you know, ideas, and that's what we do, and then we kind of...
So the back room down the big hallway that we just use for storage now, is that not long enough? Or that way you can enter right through that door and you go directly into the rifle range?
No.
Yeah. I would say that, okay, here's your basketball and everything down here. Your maintenance shop's over here. And then you got KCSO has got their food over here. There's a walk-in door and there's a big grow up door here. And I believe we can get our 33 feet there. And you got this wall, it's what, 4 foot brick, and then she rocked the rest of the way up. There is an opening down here though.
Yeah, this is.
I can't even understand.
Okay, this is the maintenance.
side. Here's the gate you would go in. So you come down that driveway, and this is an electric gate. Are you with me where I'm talking?
No.
Okay.
That's the south end of the building is on top.
This is the rec center. This building is cut in half. Here's the maintenance side of the building. Here's the rec center. Here, this is the glass door you guys are used to coming in.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, there we go. So if you know, here are the basketball courts, and here's the soccer field, and here's where the cheerleaders are.
Right.
So if the community garden were here, and there's that hallway.
Right.
Yeah.
The best of the scenario that currently exists to me is they come through the community garden,
right,
through that hallway, and then there's just a short area from here to get in that door.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of past a lot of the things. But to avoid it completely,
right,
they would have to enter, here's the employee parking lot. And this is a powered electric gate. But now I have to share the combination with whoever, unless I'm there.
Or can you just have it locked?
I can have it locked in an open situation for
39 hours.
But again, if I have this wide open,
I know,
and folks are back here shooting, who's going to stop anybody from coming in here and stealing something? So I would almost have, I would have no problem with saying a gun club, but then again, the gun club could come back and whoever's in charge of it, especially if it's the high school, he would take control and he's responsible. I could give him a code that lets the gate open and close really very quickly, and he goes back and he comes in this way. I don't have a real problem with a school teacher being in charge of a group of children. They're used to doing it. But the everyday enthusiast that wants to come in on a Saturday morning, and I'm loaded here and here and here, currently this is now. The only other thing that's available is I demolish part of a room. Right now, here's where CrossFit is,
mm-hmm,
and I have a day camp room, and I could create a hallway through there. And would be quite a bit of expense to cut down 40 feet of exposure.
We don't want to do that.
I don't think that necessarily. Yeah, I think that coming through that long hallway there. Yeah, and then walking that 22, 25 yards over,
yeah,
you know, too. It's not that, you know,
yeah,
it's not that.
That would be the least exposure currently.
Right.
And then whether we get our scheduling in here to make sure it isn't on days that there's, I will guarantee you, no matter what we do, if they enter in the back and no one sees it, the fact that it's there, I just want you folks to know there are going to be people here make presentations to you. I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever why I want to bring it to you now.
And let you have your input.
And those doors just above the circle, like if the door behind you is where you go in.
Double doors?
How are you going to control those? That, right? Yes.
Yeah, it's that are locking double doors here, right?
Those doors are locked. It has panic hardware on the inside of it, but it's locked. You can't just walk back in there.
Okay. So
yeah, a kid couldn't just wander in there.
Yeah.
Right. Now, there's a big roll-up door here before we walk through it today?
Yes, but that's locked shut on a normal basis.
Yeah.
And again, in the budget that I'm hoping you'll approve next week, it's going to be an electric roll-up that's going to be able to
buy the
house.
I don't make the assumption.
I still think
we
need to
design
that.
Okay, so
how does the air rifle people get in then?
Pardon?
When they walk over there, what door are they entering?
They would get
in
through that door.
The double door?
Yeah. Who's they?
So Willard, are you proposing that we shoot to the east or still shoot to the south?
I would shoot to the east where there would be no way anybody can come in.
Again, we can talk about that when we're over there. These are portable targets.
Yeah.
and it's no greater expense. It's painting and the line on the ground.
It's better than doors behind the range, the firing line. So that's what you really want. You want the door access door to be behind the firing line.
It wouldn't hurt to have both those options available.
Okay. So let's decide. Let's get a date so we can go
get
down
a date
there
and the time.
Kind of go from there, because we can beat this thing up all night.
And you guys may want to think of some of your own hard, fast rules that you want to also. Like I said, we do need to have a place back there, Joe, for them cleaning their hands because handling the lead pellets.
Right. Can we do this? I mean, we all come to our meeting. Can we do this at a meeting date? I mean,
and we can do this at the next meeting.
You know,
we do it after this meeting.
Yeah. Or
no, let's not do that. We won't. It'd be too late for tonight.
Well, they're open till 10, aren't they?
Yeah, but when I go down there, I don't want to go down in 5 minutes.
I think we need to just go a separate day.
Right.
You know, go a separate day, and just go down there and see it.
And I think it'd be best if the whole group goes that way. I guess all of you hear the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Would 2 weeks from tonight work?
What day is it?
The 28th?
The 28th. But 2 weeks from tonight work? And I don't know what's the earliest you guys could possibly do. What is the earliest?
Tonight's a good Wednesday, Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, we want to make sure that.
It's a day after Memorial weekend.
Okay, so Tuesday. Daytime?
No, it's going to be.
No, I mean, it's
later afternoon at least.
I don't know. What time? What time do you get off work?
I get off at 3, but I can be there at any time.
And so is Tuesday a good day for you, or is a different day better for you?
No.
Rob?
It's fine.
Tuesday, yeah. You're good.
Then
we can do it Tuesday.
Yep.
What's good for you, though, Dust?
That's fine. Usually for me after 5:30. But shoot, if you're going to make it a Tuesday, I'll make it a point to get in there.
Tuesday, so
whatever time you guys make a point, I can get in there.
We can meet at 5:30.
We'll go 5:30 then.
Let's go 5:30. 5:30 and
the 28th.
May
28th. Yeah.
Yeah, because we do. If we're all going to meet, we do have to post it. And then if folks wanted to come and give their input.
That's a good idea, anyways. You know, kind of like what we did with the CrossFit, you know.
Yeah. CrossFit, remember that? We got NBA.
Oh.
50 people down there.
And then, so this item is left open for further discussion. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Give me a question for you.
Yeah, I think, Willard, if you could make it down on the 28th, I think that'd be great.
If you had told me a little over 2 years ago I'd be using this phone like this, I would have told you he's crazy. Yep, I'm putting that in right now.
Well, Willard, while you're putting that on, do you have anything else to add?
Like I said, think, you know, read those rules, anything else you guys think of, because as far as I'm concerned, no safety rule, you know, is stupid, as long as it makes sense.
Weapons can be inspected in some fashion to determine that they're...
The only thing that's going to be allowed to shoot down, and those backstops are only going to stop at 177 and a 22 caliber pellet. That's it. No rim fire, no center fire.
Well, I understand that. But
the only, I know what you're saying, Sonny. The operator using that weapon or the RSO that's there are the only individuals that would be able to inspect that weapon. I know exactly what you're saying, so that's why you have to have responsible people dealing with this.
Like Joe was talking about putting a wall up, and I said, shouldn't need a wall, because if somebody misses a target and the backstop, they shouldn't even be shooting yet. They should still be in the classroom learning.
Right.
And then I was telling Joe about they do make baffles that you can put up overhead to keep, because we're looking at putting a 300-yard range out at the gun club out there. I don't want to have to drive to clinic all the time.
Over the 1,000-yard range. All right, sounds good then.
Thanks, Willard.
Thank you very much.
All right. And like I said, once we get the ball rolling, do fulfill the NRA's requirements for teaching youth, we can set up one Saturday a month at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock for a couple-hour class to go over the general instructions and teaching and use those guns there to take the kids out and teach them to shoot. Because those guns there, be lucky if NRA paid $25 a piece for. They'll work. They'll do the job. But I wouldn't want to take them to a competition shoot.
And you want to get the fundamentals anyways. So it doesn't matter even how good the weapon is. As long as you have the shooting fundamentals and safe, that's all that matters.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks, Willard.
Maybe next time we can get the... Well, I apologize. I didn't even think about calling Lynn today.
Well, on the 28th, I'm going to have a target set up and a gun set up.
Good.
So that Willard can shoot it and you guys can see, or you guys can all shoot it. And you can see what this is and get a much better feel for what we're talking about.
Safety glasses, yes. Hearing protection, no. Those guns are air spring activated. The ones that we got are spring activated. The newer air rifles, more expensive ones, are, you know, those gas shocks that hold your hoods up. Mm-hmm. They're using those inside the guns now. It's faster.
So you actually got some recoil then, huh?
Yeah. I tell you, you can't use just a regular scope on an air rifle, because it will tear it up. You have to get a scope that's made for an air rifle. Mm-hmm. I learned that too a few years back.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
you. All right. Well, let's move on to item number 6, disc golf tournament.
No. Wait a minute now. You guys got to go as long as we did the other night.
Not going to happen.
Eric, I got another item.
Uh-oh.
I apologize. I should have stepped up there for public comments at the beginning.
Welcome back, Willard.
You started a public meeting. Why was there no flag salute? Does this body does not recognize a flag?
It has never happened in the past.
Well, I'll tell you what. On all the boards I'm on representing this city, every one of them says a flag salute now. They did not when I got there. Okay. I figure if it's a government body, you should start the meeting with a flag salute.
I like that.
That's good.
All right.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
That's what this
is
all about.
Freedom.
Welcome.
Item number 6. Go ahead,
Shida,
this golf tournament.
This was on the agenda because that guy was supposed to meet with you and he canceled.
Well,
so
here,
you
I mean,
talk to him about it.
The disc golf out at Heritage Park where you folks planted all those trees, some enthusiasts want, and I don't know if you've noticed, but there's quite a few folks doing that every day, and especially every weekend. The Mormon Church cleaned up the community gardens. They brought over 100 people in.
Wow.
And they let them in, and it's weedless. They did a great job. They're going to go out in 2 weeks and do Heritage Park on the disc golf course. There's a group of the enthusiasts want us to put a tournament on out there. And what's the date we had?
Well, they were shooting about May
28th.
I mean, at the end of May, but he didn't show up.
I don't know. I'll let you guys know. You know the particulars if we're going to have that tournament. But we'd like to do a couple a year out there.
Okay. Item number 7: Commissioner's wish list for recreation. I don't know if you guys want to still talk about this on the agenda tonight, or we want to.
I did give you a list of what everybody wanted.
Alan's telling me no. I don't know how the rest of you guys feel. Personally, I think I'd rather kick it. I think I've got a lot on my mind still thinking about this gun deal. I would personally like to kick it, but it's.
And Jack, I did find your list, and it's on there.
Yeah. I think we could. I think
so. I was the first one to turn.
You were
in.
Jack was the very first one to turn in his list. Yeah. But when I was in Hawaii, Eric didn't realize where it was. That was my fault. So Jack's wish list is on there now.
I think maybe what we can do is just take this home. If you guys don't mind, just take this home and then just kind of scratch, do a little numbering maybe on here, add to it, Yeah, and then we'll hit it up again on, and we've been kicking this thing down the can a lot, but hit it hard in June.
Okay.
If everybody's
definitely
okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't need to, we don't need to make a motion to change it, do we? Right. Okay, let's go to item number 8, updates.
Senior Health and Fitness Day, Ernie and I are getting ready for that on Wednesday, May 29th. It's our second annual one. We have the health department coming to do health screenings. We have some vendors showing clothing lines for seniors. We're trying to 8 to 11 on Wednesday. We'd like, if anybody of you could show us, that'd be great. Wednesday the 29th
of this month.
Our walking club gets bigger every week. I think you had 40 today, didn't you?
Yeah, 41.
So we have challenged all our walkers to bring two people, which would give us 120 people if they all bring two friends. So we're shooting to increase our numbers this year. Kings County Commission on Aging is coming this year, and they want two tables, so they're bringing lots of information. They confirm.
Where is it going to be held?
It's at the Recreation Center. Ernie does a wonderful job with those seniors, and we're trying to give them a great morning. We're going to have a light breakfast. There's line dancing demonstrations, senior Zumba demonstrations. Jason goes down, and we had a lot of them try boxing that they had a lot of fun with last year. And we're trying to get a little live music and a lot of information out there, plus some health screenings. We're working, trying to get Dr. Garcia to come and do some eye screenings. So we're trying to make it bigger this year, so if any of you can attend, that'd be great.
Did you say that's Wednesday?
Wednesday the 29th from 8 a.m. to 11.
Oh, yeah.
I know you can't come.
Can't make it on Wednesday. You always have things on Wednesday.
Let's make it Monday by ordeal then, huh?
It's a national day. What it is every May, every last Wednesday of May is National Senior Health and Fitness Day nationwide. And so we are part of that group that holds activities that day. There's over 1,500 activities throughout the United States at different locations that day. So we have gotten involved in that because we have a pretty big senior group. So we do it on the national day. That's why we do it on that date. It's always the last Wednesday in May. And so we're trying to, you know, get all the seniors we can down there. And we're happy about that the Commission on Aging is coming. They're bringing a lot of stuff. And so if you can drop by, that'd be great. Our walking club keeps getting bigger and bigger.
The Commission on Aging is doing... The Commission on Aging is doing something similar in Hanford, but it's, there's one in Hanford on May 17th, and there's another one in Hanford on May 24th. But we're doing it on the National Seniors Health and Fitness Day. And I'm sure that some of those individuals will come over and participate with us. We're going to blitz.
Yeah, you should be at those events before ours with some flyers.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah, 4th of July, we're so excited because we have the Enchanted Princesses coming. We have Belle, Aurora, and Cinderella who are going to sing. And we're announcing it as I announced at the Tea Party Saturday in the Little World. We're very excited. We also are going to have live music. What you guys can think about, and if you have any ideas, Eric and I are working on an Iron Team Challenge, and we have some squadrons that are already committed to participating. We're going to have 10-man teams, and we're going to make them... I mean, we're coming up with some events which we need to finalize. Alan, I don't know whether you've ever done anything like that in prison. So anybody who has an event for this 10-man team Iron Team Challenge, if you can email your idea, we're going to be doing events for the teams throughout the day, and the winner's going to, we're going to charge a small entry fee so we can give the winner an annual trophy. But the base is not going to have a celebration this year, and we've got more and more squadrons coming. I guess they don't fly as much now. I just had a squadron call me today that their pilots can't train as much, and they want to do community projects. They want to keep their people busy, and so we're getting some squadrons for the 4th of July to compete. We're also getting squadrons that want to volunteer on the 4th of July. It'll probably be the biggest Navy presence we've had at the Navy Lemoore 4th of July.
Wow.
So we're encouraging that. But if anybody has an event for this Iron Team Challenge that they've seen or that can work at City Park, let us know, because we need to Eric and I need to finalize this and get it out to the squadron so they know what they're going to do with this competition.
I'll come see you tomorrow after work.
Yeah, come and see me, because we're excited about it. And I've already got 3 squadrons committed to having a team. And then we're going to open it up to the community. So if Caprino wants to have a team, or the city wants to have a team, or We've also had a request to have a volleyball tournament the 4th of July, but I don't even know if we could put a court up somewhere. So 4th, I mean, maybe I threw that out today because Alan, the other volleyball enthusiast, came in and he goes, you know, I could fill up a one-day tournament at the 4th of July, but I don't, where we, the court is now, that temporary thing is where we put the vendors, but if you guys think it's a great idea and Joe thinks there's a place to have it,
we could put it down when we do the water games. Just have it before the water games start on the Fox side.
So there's no way to move that thing at the Heritage for one day, huh? Because it's like in there, right? It's built in. But that's another.
At least over words, I can get one for us.
Okay, so that's another idea that the community has brought us about the 4th of July. 4th of July, we'll start with a run walk, and then we're going to, it's an hour and a half less. It'll end at 2:30 instead of 4. And we're excited about the princes coming for the kids, and we have live music, and we're going to have the Iron Team competition that we're pretty excited about, and the cake decorating went well, so we'll have that. So if anybody has an idea for the Iron Team competition, or Dustin, you should get your soccer team to compete.
These guys are all fat and out of shape. They're not coming.
Summer programs are starting June 10th, a 9-week day camp and summer swim lessons, and with not much advertising, the swim lessons are getting enrollment a lot sooner than it ever has, so we're very excited about that. And day camp, the same way. We have a lot of 9-weekers already signed up, so wow. We think we're good on that. We also have Navy squadrons that are willing to come and volunteer for camp and volunteer for anything they have. So the reason I'm bringing up the Navy squadrons again, I know I'm getting off track, but I have a VFA 86 that wants to do a major cleanup project. So if you guys have an idea for a major cleanup project, they're ready to go. They can't fly as many hours, and she's called me twice in, you know, 2 days saying, what can you give us? So if you guys have something for them, maybe if Heritage Park needs cleaned up, they can do it. They're going to come to Evening Under Stars. They'll serve food, they'll serve wine, they'll serve. I've already booked them for that.
That's a huge event.
4th of July, they're coming.
Wow.
Booked them for that, and they're going to also try to get a team in the Iron Team competition. But they would like to bring the squadron on a weekend for a major cleanup project.
Well, weren't they talking about across right around the railroad tracks on the other side there, where they have that one skate park, and just on the other side of the tracks, they said that needed to be cleaned up over there or something done with it.
Is that our private?
No, but we're taking care of it. Yes. It doesn't matter that it's ours or not, as long as it's a nice story.
Well, they're willing. They're waiting. So whatever you guys can come up with, they are willing to work on a weekend and bring a lot of people.
Yeah, shoot, I think we use them as much as we can, you know, especially if they're looking for work.
We need the outside of civilians game too.
Yeah, really? That's it, Sheila?
That's it.
All right, let's move on to commissioners' comments and requests for information. We'll start down there with you, Sonny.
I was at that city council meeting last Tuesday, and they brought up about that grant for the senior citizens. It didn't go through, so I guess Ernie might know a little bit more information about that. I'd like to know. That was kind of really of a downfall in regards to helping senior citizens. So what's next on the agenda for helping senior citizens?
The reason that grant did not go through is the previous year there's an audit that has to be submitted. And the audit was late. And like happens frequently, and I did not know of this at the time, and I didn't know of it until the letter came to us. You get warned a lot. There's this report due and that state report due and this report due. They sent a reminder that they were not going to be lenient this year. And it wasn't adhered to. And the report wasn't handed in time. So the city of Lemoore were told they were going to get no grant monies because they didn't do the due diligence and turn the reports on time. They will be eligible for that grant the next year.
They'll be shut down by then.
Pardon?
They'll be shut down by then.
There's other things in the works.
Yeah.
There's other things in the works. I don't believe this council is going to allow that to happen. I could be wrong, but I do believe this council will not allow that to happen.
When you say this council, you're talking about city council?
City council.
Because the mayor already made a comment that he was not going to sponsor or do anything for the senior citizens, that I remember him saying that he wasn't really into the senior citizens issue.
I remember that evening, and my recollection, and it's online, but my recollection is that they will do everything within their power to help them out. That's my recollection of what was stated that night. But that's the whole council, and it hasn't truly gotten to that point yet. And it's an unfortunate situation. People should have crossed I's and dot. I mean, you know, crossed T's and dotted I's. But that's how that happened. I guess to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's some things, you know, they have a few big events that are coming up that's going to really, it won't be rolling along as we had hoped. It will be limping along, but it won't go under. If we're looking for the city to come in with $200,000 to get the boat really afloat, that's not going to happen. But because it's a, what, a 50, how you say that? 501c3. I mean, it's not going to go under. I'm having a meeting with, I was supposed to meet with a group down there Wednesday morning, the coffee group, and Jim Orsala, but he called me late this afternoon and canceled. But we're meeting Friday morning to go through to identify some other fundraisers that will continue to help the senior citizens.
This coming Friday?
This coming Friday. Yeah, and.
Is it right if I attend?
Yeah, I'll get you the information. There's a group of guys, there's guys that meets down there about 7:30 in the morning. I don't get there till like 8:15. But there are some things. Yeah, it's not going to go under. It's not going to go under. You know, the grants and stuff that was on tap for it was really, was going to cosmetically help the place, you know, with the solar and updating of all
and lower things. Some of the data.
And lower some of the data operation, which was going to be very helpful financially. But you know, we're going to be around till this next grant cycle, and now that we know that. We need to take those warnings seriously and get right on the information that we need to get to the grant and funding agency. We're going to be okay, I believe.
And I said in a letter to get them a breakfast next year. It's too late for this year, but you have to apply way in advance.
Right.
So hopefully we'll get them a palace breakfast. And we have a couple of other fundraising ideas floating around for the right time.
Yeah. And I still haven't given up the idea with the gentleman, Stretch and Linda and some of the other people of looking at the possibility of other 501(c)(3)s or C3s.
Maybe someone in our audience can answer this.
Yeah.
Do you know who is the governing body over KTAAA?
The governing body of KTAAA?
Do you know who is? Do you know who is the oversight? KTAAA.
Not offhand. I just met with Tim Lutz like a couple of weeks ago too. He was kind of explaining to me how they're more involved with Tulare now, and they still do things for Kings County, but KTAA is more KCO, the Kings County Community Aging, Commission on Aging. They're more servicing for the Kings County.
I will tell you that this was a huge fight of mine that I was horribly passionate about. And it happened, it just so happened at the times when my son was killed. And I was in the middle of battling them. And so it went by the wayside for me. But it's a baton that has to be picked back up. For years and years and years, KTAAA supplied they were the governing body that supplied the meals out there. And that's when the problem started, when they pulled that back. They get funds that incorporate the population of Kings County, and yet they keep those resources in Tulare. Why? Because the board is made up of two people from Kings County and three people from Tulare. So it's going to be a swing vote the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And on a state level, we need to beat on legislators, write letters, and get angry about it. During that time when we were arguing about it, and they pulled, I thought I said this at another meeting. The seniors came to me and said, they're going to pull our funding. And I said, we're going to pull your funding. So they were sending scary letters to the folks and said, you're not paying enough, you're not depositing enough in your volunteer donation for your meals for the seniors that run there on a daily basis. So I'm sitting in the meeting at many of their insistence, and I'm listening to this gal say, this senior center averages $3.10 in donation, and this one averages this, and this one averages that, and you folks only average $1.87. I said, well, what do they need? I raised my hand. What do they need to meet on a funding level on their donation to be financially viable? If they could get to $2.10 a meal on voluntary donation, then we can meet their needs. Okay. So I went out to the palace, went up to their board meeting, got on their agenda. They wrote a check for $50,000 and guaranteed they would make a $50,000 donation every year for 4 years to keep that alive. We're having meetings, and I thought, this is a done deal, right? Well, the next week was when my son was killed, and I was off work for a number of months. And by the time my head cleared and I was able to come back and go to this battle, I hear that they didn't care. They were going to pull it anyway, pull the funding anyway. So I found out where the meeting was in Tulare, and I arranged for a school bus, put all the seniors on it. I said, let's go. We went to their board meeting down there. And they had to move the meeting twice to a bigger hall, and that didn't work, so they had to go to a bigger hall. The lady that spoke to me and scared them down there was up speaking. And I said, no, that isn't what you said. You said if they could meet the funding level of 210, this organization was going to continue. And this meeting went on and on and on. The gentleman that said, well, we stopped considering when you blew me off for the meeting. The day of the meeting was the day after my son was killed. He knew very well what it was about. And it upsets me on about 40 different levels. But one is, that's government money earmarked for Kings County that goes to Tulare County and is never going to come back. And I've listened to all their stuff. And it is unbelievably unethical. And it needs to be at a state level. Somebody's got to go in and go, wait a minute, these resources are supposed to help all of these folks. And they only help these. Do you realize they get free breakfast and free lunch in Tulare, the seniors do? Those same folks show up to those same centers. They take it out of these mouths and gave it to them twice. It's incredible. But it needs to be at a state level. I don't know at the state parks and rec whether at that level they can advise and help and put some pressure from multiple angles, but it's pathetic.
Can Baller seniors ask the representative to check into that? Can you do that?
Well, I did meet with them. It's funny. It's KTAAA is kind of part of Tulare County. Tim Lutz, he works for Tulare County, and he gets kind of...
I did some research on the history of KTAAA when doing this. Uh-huh. They used to be two separate agencies. And I guess at the state level, they decided, wait a minute, we have too much bureaucracy. So what we're going to do is we're going to make this group and this group pair up, and this group and this group pair up. And they did it all up and down the state. So he was correct at that. But what they didn't do in other areas that they did in our areas, they made it a 3-2 vote, and it's game, set, match. In other areas, they made it where it was an equal vote, and they had to deliberate, and there was going to be some give and take. There's never any give and take here. So at a state level, there has to be some influence to get at these folks. And I challenge you to do a little research on it. I don't know where we go to Dean Flores' office, or whose door we bang on and put some pressure on. But it's got to come from a lot more than just me ranting and raving. We've got to figure out a way whether the threat of closing this thing is enough to get enough newspaper articles going, news coverage, or whatever we need to do. And to me, the focus of this doesn't need to be on this grant. The focus of this needs to be on KTAAA, because it would have never come about if it wasn't for that decision and that inequity.
Well, that's a good discussion.
You got me on my soapbox. That's a pretty passionate thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Sonny, you got anything else?
I know.
You got me riled up, Sonny.
Good work. At least you got me some answers.
How about you, Robert?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, come on, Robert. You got to ask that.
That's a tough question to beat right there, huh?
Ernie?
No. We're going to do some summer hours on the walking club program, seniors. We're gonna move to 9 a.m.
Okay, 9 a.m. which is?
Tuesday, Thursday. That puts us we'll be in line with CrossFit. A lot of the walkers were coming earlier because the CrossFit opened the doors at 9 o'clock, and I didn't want to lose the synergy. Continuity of the group, so they were all pretty much in agreement with it. Yeah. And I think I may even get some new people that thought 10 was too late and 9 is enough. So we're going to start that probably not next week, but the following week.
Good.
That's it.
Alan?
Just one thing, I have our fourth annual football camp that we're going to have for youth football camp, June 8th. And if I can get you guys to maybe grab some flyers here this week or next week, whenever we kind of get this. We got a couple of little corrections to make on it, but if I can get you guys to get your grandkids and people who you know and, sons or your buddies' kids. It's an instructional football camp that we have, and we provide them at lunch, and we have a water slide coming in, and we give them a T-shirt, and we work them, and it's a really good instructional fundamental camp. We just kind of get you guys to, kind of pass some flyers out, kind of help promote this thing. And we've got enough people to manage it and coach and all that, so I don't need you guys to participate in that way. If you want to just come out and check it out, that's fine. It'll be June 8th, Saturday, from 9 to about 2 o'clock. Hopefully it's not 102 degrees like last year, where we had to kind of cut the camp in half. But so that's all I got going on.
I don't really have anything except how's the hiring going for all the summer stuff?
I think they did interviews.
We hired the day camp staff. That got finalized today. We had lifeguard training interview last Saturday at the pool. They're coming in for one more oral interview. All staff will be hired by the end of the week.
Cool.
Thanks for sitting in on those interviews.
Oh, and I have one more deal. I ran into a guy down at the Relay for Life, and some of you guys might know him, Bill Overby. Joe, I know you know him. You guys work with him probably hand in hand. Anyways, I went down. I guess you could say I had the privilege of eating breakfast at the Vets Hall on Friday, last Friday. And they serve And you guys probably know more than I know, even. But they serve meals for are free. And, you know, gosh, when I was in there, they probably had 15 people in there. And then they just ask, you know, if you can donate, you can donate. But if you guys get a chance, check it out, because it's a pretty neat deal, you know, that's going on in our community. That deal, from what I've been told, was kind of gone by the wayside. And over the last few years, it kind of picked back up. And
well, the senior center cut it off on Fridays. And so the seniors had nowhere to go on Fridays.
So they,
so they decided to pick it up. I thought we did some swap with them or something. Yeah. And they do it for seniors and for military. And the last one of the month is biscuits and gravy.
Every Friday they do something different. They do pancakes and French toast.
Friday morning.
Yeah, Friday morning they serve breakfast. Any veteran or senior.
I'm a veteran. I'm Sunday Monday. So
man, you were just
not, I just can't wait for losing.
All right, let's adjourn the meeting at. You can't see that far. What is it? 8:27. No, that's not 8:27. That's 8:24. 8:27.